Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It is I, William Powell, internationally known, nationally respected, and locally appreciated. Welcome to another episode of Inside Acting, where we bring entertaining to entertainment. My co-host, Udall Diolio, is sick tonight, but we're still going to be having a great couple of interviews tonight. We got two sizzling talents in the acting business, L.A.-based actor Tony Ellis and Annapolis-based actor Tracy Teague joining us tonight. Well, before we get started, let me talk to you about my week. I got offered a print ad and a commercial, a play and a part in a film. I only have time to do the print ad and the film. I'm pretty busy right now. I feel like a one-leg man in a butt-kicking contest. Haven't gotten any confirmations yet, and I'm still waiting to hear back. Oh, by the way, speaking of auditions, I've heard a lot about a big audition they just had for a local indie horror film called Ninjas vs. Monsters, directed by this guy, Justin Tempain. I heard there was a pretty big turnout for it, too. It was this last Saturday, the 14th, down in Clifton, Virginia. And this guy, Tempain, directed a film last year called Ninjas vs. Vampires. Let's see, you got ninjas, vampires, monsters, zombies. So much horror stuff nowadays. Horror's hot. I've got some entertainment jobs and some entertainment news to share with you. The first one I've got here is a writer-producer position down in Atlanta. The incumbent is called upon to write and produce on-air promotional campaigns for TNT. They're looking for 4 to 5 years broadcast or cable experience, and they want you to go to www.turnerjobs.com and click on careers. The next job's down in Hotlanta, otherwise known as Atlanta. They're looking for a senior writer-producer, 5 years experience writing and producing on-air promotional campaigns at the network level. Go to www.turnerjobs.com. In entertainment news, last Sunday, one of my favorite shows, Hell on Wheels, on America AMC, Sunday night's show tallied 2.8 million total viewers, and the encore actually totaled 1.1 million viewers. Okay, so it looks like we have our guest, Tony, Mr. Tony Ellis, is going to be joining us here shortly. Hey, yes, Tony. Hey.
How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on out in L.A., man?
Wow. Where do we start? Well, you have a couple things going on. You have the SAG Awards that's coming up on January 29th, which is actually going to be very important this year because you're going to have Ken Howard, who's going to be talking on the possible merger. I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of union talents locally and on the West Coast have been following that. This is a part of, like, SAG and AFTRA. And, you know, for years they've been trying to get this vote to go green. And this year what he's going to actually do is announce that night if that is actually going to be a reality for this upcoming year. So I think that's really going to be huge, just, you know, affecting a lot of careers, obviously, directly within the industry. So definitely a lot to look for from that. And Steven Spielberg has actually been on the tear this year.
Wow.
He's so far produced three television shows, as you know, the series hit Terra Nova last year, and he has a new series, Smash, and The River.
Smash, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's actually going to be a pretty good show. It's going to be airing on ABC, I believe, in February.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and he's also working with, of course, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones on the Men in Black 3 film. This is going to actually be airing this summer, so that's going to be a huge blockbuster hit.
Oh, no doubt. No, absolutely, absolutely. So, man, you told me you had a big announcement, man. What's the announcement?
I did. Yes. Well, you know, we've been in great talks just with different producers, both on the East and West Coast. And one thing that, you know, I always speak on is, you know, opportunities for actors. And, you know, on the East Coast here, you know, just during my time working here, since I've started, I noticed we really don't have too many studios on the East Coast. You know, of course, you have Tyler Perry in Atlanta, you have Steiner Studios in New York, And, you know, we wanted to bring something more local. So we've been in development and talks, and it's going to be a 4 to 5 year plan. And we are going to be developing MVP Studios, and we're going to try to have it located here in the DMV area. So,
wow.
Yes.
Check that out. That's amazing, man. That's incredible news.
Thank you.
That is incredible news. So a 4 to 5 year plan, huh?
Yes. It's definitely going to be an extensive plan, just, you know, dealing with taxing and, of course, you know, just – just seeing the, you know, local area as far as on the rise, as far as projects and actors. You had Kevin Spacey, who recently came down here, and he's doing House of Cards in the Baltimore area.
Right.
The production value is definitely going up locally. So, you know, the necessity for a studio, I feel, was definitely needed here. So we will definitely try to make that happen for the actors here so they can have – that way, you know, it's not so far – you know, we have to go to Hollywood to film, you know, when
right.
we have studio time.
Exactly. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. So have you started looking at different locations and areas where you might have a studio here?
There have been a few here and there. You know, that's been a little bit on the hush-hush.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, we definitely have a couple in mind, just, you know, trying to see what works best for everyone and also making sure that it's beneficial and that it's going to get the best value out. So,
wow. Check that out. Check that out. Well, I know we'll be hearing a lot more about that in the future. Like you say, the production values here in the DMV, man, they're really,
yeah.
really coming on. I mean, I was involved in the project Veep. There was a TV show on HBO.
Wow. Okay.
That was recently filmed here. That's Julia Marie Dreyfus. Used to play Elaine in Seinfeld. Plays the vice president in the show.
Hmm.
Then you had Game Change. That was a political thriller about, I think, about a year and a half ago now. They filmed some of that in Baltimore. So I think Maryland's coming back. I mean, we were doing good in the, you know, back in the 90s we were in, man. We had, early 2000s, you had The Wire. Then you had, before then you had, what was that show, Homicide, Life in the Streets back there.
You had a lot of great productions that came through here.
Right.
You know, definitely want to bring that back. You know, right now, I know the last time I was talking, I went down to the local AFTRA office in Bethesda, the AFTRA and SAG office, and, you know, we were speaking on that as far as just the production value, and they were saying that D.C. is actually now in the third tier as far as marketing within the U.S. as far
is
as,
that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's actually right behind New York. So
wow.
that was actually surprising that it, you know, surpassed Atlanta, which has Tyler Perry Studios. So that was good stuff to definitely hear. That was definitely
wow. That's fantastic. That's fantastic news. I mean, there's a lot of talent in this area.
Yes, there is a lot of talent. And if you really think about it, a lot of the talent here, when they become established or, you know, well-known, they usually branch out because of the opportunities, you know, elsewhere. And a lot of it's because, you know, they don't have any studios here and things like that. So we wanted to make sure, you know, it feel, you know, that it's not necessarily like, okay, you know, I'm getting established now. Now I have to leave, you know, the local area to, you know, be successful or to make it in my career.
Right.
I just want to give opportunities locally so that, you know, people would be more inspired that, hey, you know, I can survive as an actor full-time in the DMV area. So
That's what people like to hear because it's so many people in this area, it's always that jump. When am I going to make that jump?
Yep.
You know, I've built up all these credits, and then I got to go up to New York City. I got to go out to L.A., got to go here, got to go there, got to go down to Atlanta. You know, there's stuff popping off down there in Hotlanta. You know, you got all this stuff going on in other cities, but it's always that debate. You know, when do I actually make that jump? You know, you hear about when I make the jump to New York City, man, you got to have 15,000 saved up, and you got to, man, you got to have a resume full of credits and all this stuff, man. You got to really be prepared before you go up there and have speaking roles and a reel and all this stuff and
right.
a bag of chips, you know, before you go anywhere. You know, but it'd be great to be able to, like I said, you got the talent right here.
We do. There's a lot
yes.
of talent here. You look at Taraji P. Henson. You look at
Absolutely.
Lance Gross. You look at Terrence Howard, who's going to be premiering for Red Tails tomorrow.
Right.
That's going to be a great film. You have a lot of great talent that's come from this area, but, you know, again, they feel that they have to relocate to succeed, and, you know, we would like to change that if we could, so.
Right, exactly. So you say we, so it's you, and then are you at liberty to discuss the other partners?
Not yet, but we
okay.
will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what will we see, like a website or some tangibles on this?
Yes, we would like to actually have the website up and running by January 2013. That's the plan as of now. Is, you know, we definitely want to have that up so that people can know, you know, and follow and have the development process and, you know, keep up, you know, to date with, you know, where the project is going, you know, pretty much everything that's going on with MVP production.
Right.
And just, you know, following after that, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. Man, that's fantastic news. Fantastic.
Thank you, thank you.
So let's talk about you as an actor. Now, I know that you're from the D.C. area.
Yes.
And you made the jump to L.A. Talk about how you came to that decision to make that jump to L.A., man.
Wow. That jump was, wow, that was more than a jump, but, you know, it just came to a point where, you know, like we were just talking on, where you would look at the work and you pretty much just feel like as an actor, it's just like, you know, with the, you know, money coming in that you would make potential earnings with roles and you say, well, hey, you know, I don't think I can make a living in my market, you know, trying to do this full time. And, you know where, you know, the studios and, you know, basically as I think the biggest thing for me is when I became AFTRA. And, you know, you always hear actors say, well, if you're going to go SAG or AFTRA, you might as well go to New York or L.A. because you know, all the work is there.
There's nothing down, not that much here.
Exactly.
If you're going to be full time.
Yes. And, you know, that's what really propelled me to say, you know what, you know, I'm going to have to take this leap. And it was kind of funny, you know, it's not the typical story. You know, a lot of people tried to save up and get things together. And, you know, at that time I was in a predicament where I just felt that financially it wasn't going to get any better for me at that time because I was, you know, going from paycheck to paycheck. And I was, like, you know, trying to do the acting thing and work part-time and, you know, the whole nine yards of the story you're always here. And, you know, I said, well, hey, you know, I'm going to have to just take this leap of faith. And
it's just like that singer. It's just like that singer. Was it nothing from nothing leaves nothing? I mean, you didn't have anything to lose. You're already paycheck to paycheck. So,
right.
I mean, why not?
Right. And, you know, I came out there and I said, you know, I came to a conclusion one night. And, you know, I started to, you know, kind of second guess myself and say, you know, maybe I need to stay here. Maybe I need to do this and wait a little bit longer. And, you know, I had a great friend that, you know, gave me a good talk. You know, you always need a friend that's going to talk, you know, sensible knowledge to you and motivate you sometimes. It's not always going to be, you know, a yes man.
Exactly. They keep you on point, you know?
Yes, they definitely do. And, you know, that helped me a lot in making that decision to move to L.A. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, I came to L.A., with about $20 in my pocket, you know, just paid off the rent for the first month, ate PB&J for about, you know, a week or two. Just, you know, looking for work, you know, just trying to find work here and there. And, you know, picked up a couple gigs and, you know, started working and picking up more work and, you know, just trying to survive here and there. But, you know, the main thing is, like, just taking that initial first step. You know, I think, you know, the hardest thing, and I know for myself it was definitely, and most actors, is stepping away from that comfort zone. You know, a lot of
times. Check that out.
Yeah. You know, you get in that comfort zone and, you know, the money's good or, you know, the, you know, whatever you may be buying to in your life just seems, you know, feasible at that time. And you're like, hey, you know, why walk away from this and put myself in hardship or adversity? And, you know, I think, you know, the thing you have to come to as a talent or as in any profession, I believe, is, you know, how much do you really want this? You know, how much do you really want to do this? And
exactly.
You know, it really boils down to that, just passion and drive. And you have to really just suck it up and say, you know what, I'm going to take this chance. You know, I don't know the outcome, you know, of this, of my decision, but I'm going to do this because this is what I love doing. And I believe that, you know, I'm talented enough, or that this is, you know, my destiny. I'm destined for this, and this is what
I'm
going to do.
And if you don't try, you never know.
That's so true.
And speaking of passion and drive, man, I'm looking at this. Now, tell me, 15, I was looking at your bio, 15 credits during a nine-month span? 15 credits, I had to read that twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, talk about that. How did you pull that off?
You know, it's just, you know, it's kind of funny. When I first started acting, first of all, I had no intent on acting. I was, you know, trying to be a police officer, you know, going to school for criminal justice, you know, in a totally different direction from the industry. And luckily, you know, I had a good friend at the time that was actually practicing, you know, going to school for theater. And just so happened one day I was in, you know, the cafeteria with him, and his scene partner was absent, and he was actually, you know, running, you know, behind. And he said, you know, hey, I really need to go over this scene because I have to, you know, perform this today for class. And I said, you know, hey, man, I don't know the first thing about reading the script. You know, I don't know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, hey, you know, can you just, you know, at least just give me a little bit of time, just try. And,
right.
You know, I read with him, and he kind of took a seat back, you know, when I read with him and said, you know, hey, you ever thought about trying to really do this, like, seriously? And, you know, of course, I laughed at him and said, you know, no, that's beyond me. You know, I'm trying to, you know, go, you know, be a superhero and save the day and, you know, arrest the bad guys. And
right.
You know, he said, well, look, you know, can you do this for me? You know, it's an audition coming up this weekend. It's a feature film that they're, a short film that they were shooting at Howard University called Class Act. And once you know, go audition for that and, you know, see what they think. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to just do this this one time, you know, because you're my boy and, you know, that's going to be that. So I go into the audition and, you know, of course, everyone and their mama's there. And, you know, you see the agents and managers and everyone's prepping. And, you know, I'm just sitting there with this vanilla, you know, folder and, you know, a snapshot, camera shot of my face, you know, just written all over me, you know, and I'm coming in, and the lady that goes before me, you know, she auditions for about 30 minutes, and they just have her just, you know, running through the script and trying different directions in the scene, and I hear her get a standing ovation when she leaves out, and
wow.
I'm just thinking, wow, how am I supposed to top that? So, you know, I come in and they
talk
say,
about,
you know,
pressure.
Right. And, you know, they're asking me to slate, and I'm like, you know, what is slate? You know, what is that? You know, what is scene direction? And, you know, they're looking at each other laughing.
Mm.
And they're just like, you know what, just, you know, just read the script and, you know, just read the script.
Wow.
And, you know, so I read it, and, you know, they stopped me after about 3 minutes. And was like, you know, thank you for coming out. And, you know, of course, you know, what I did is, you know, got on my phone and shared some nice words with my friend and say, you know, you made me look like a fool.
Come on, they weren't nice words.
Right. maybe just a little naughty, just a little bit. But, you know, just following up with him on that, and he kind of laughed and said, you know, that doesn't mean you didn't get it, you know, just because they cut your audition short. You might have done something, they saw what they wanted, and, you know, that's all they needed for that audition. And they say you usually have to wait, you know, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 14 days sometime to hear back from casting directors. And I said, okay, well, I'll do that. And it just so happened I was actually auditioning for something else, and I had received a call. And, you know, I answered the call, and the assistant director's actually on the phone, and he's talking to me. And he said, Mr. Ellis, are you aware you auditioned for us a couple days ago? And I said, yeah, I'm definitely aware. And he said, well, you know, we would like to offer you a role. And,
wow.
You know, I began to laugh because, you know, I thought he was making a mockery of me. And I said, well, you know, where do you cast me as an extra? And I hear, like, the director in the background laughing. And he said, no, no, tell him. He's like, you know, tell him what he got. You know, tell him what we casted him as. And, you know, they were like, well, we casted you as the lead of this film.
Unbelievable.
And I was speechless.
Wow.
And that was my first ever project. And, you know, I called my boy back, and he had, you know, a share of giggles and said, you know, so this career is definitely not for you, right? You want to be a cop. And, you know, I kind of laughed and said, okay, maybe you're right, you know. And from that point, it really just picked up, you know. I met an incredible talent on that set, Dominique Spencer, who's actually a good friend of mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing some substantial work in the area and just, you know,
collabing. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so, you know, from that point, we had another film that was pretty notable in the area, which was done by Jonathan Bouchel, which was Fang. And that was a film that Dominique Spencer was a lead on. And I was actually working on another project at that time. And he said, hey, you know, if you have a chance, if you could come in, just, you know, just feature or something like that on the project. You know, I just want to have you on the project. And, you know, I came in, met with the director. You know, we shot on the scenes that day. And actually, I was upgraded to support for that film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that actually turned out great. So, you know, just from that point, it was definitely fast-paced to start off, which was definitely surprising for me, not having the experience and things like that, which kind of propelled me to want to join the union a little bit faster because, you know, of course you have those productions where you have, you know, contracts, and, you know, sometimes those contracts tend to disappear in the non-union world and stuff like that, and you know, you're like, hey, you know, I thought I was going to get paid this. And they're like, no, you know, we never said you're going to get paid. And, you know, you deal with different things like that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, you know, that kind of propelled me to saying, okay, you know, I want, you know, to work under a union where, you know, my finances are protected. And
right,
that,
exactly.
That's what led to that, so.
But to hear you talk, man, Tony, man, it seemed like you're just anointed. You just have that talent. I mean, now you did all this and you had no training. That you just walked in and just, I think some folks just have it, you know?
That's true.
I mean,
you
always talk. Don't be so humble, man. I mean, it's just, you hear you talk, it's just like, I went in, auditioned, they called me, I got the lead, I got upgraded to, I mean, to supporting. I mean, all this, I mean, wow. All I can say is wow.
Thank you. You know, I think one of the most, you know, memorable moments was definitely, you know, moving, you know, to Los Angeles because, you know, just recapping all of that in the area,
uh-huh.
You know, most actors, when they're moving to Los Angeles or New York,
uh-huh.
It's just a different pace. And I know my first time when I actually went to New York to do Boardwalk Empire,
yeah,
you know, that was a huge cattle call. You know, they had about 4,000 actors out there. You know, freezing
wow.
cold, you know, standing around, everyone's, you know, looking at their headshots, looking over their shoulders, you know, me mugging other actors. And
Tony, we're kind of running out of time on this segment, man, but I'm going to definitely have you come back, man.
Awesome. Not a problem.
Definitely have you come back. And, man, you just keep doing what you do, man.
Thank you, and thank you for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah, thanks for the tip about MVP Studios, and we'll be talking to you again one day, man.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good night. Hey, thanks for calling in.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, now we'll go on to our next guest, Tracy Teague. And let's see there if I can get her to come on. Tracy, hello.
I will.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
You know I love calling in at 10:30 at night. I'm a big fan.
You got to be a big fan to call in that late. You're a busy woman.
I did it for you. I love you.
Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. So, let's talk about you and your career. So, I know I've seen you in several local indie horror films.
Yeah, I got a little beef. No, it's not a beef. But I saw, I went to the page and I saw that you had done a description for me and you said horror queen and I was aghast. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
I'm not a horror queen.
Okay,
let's call these psychological thrillers, okay?
Okay.
I'm messing with you, but that real. I've only done two, and they are psychological thrillers, and I would hate to be stereotyped like that.
Well, I was going to call you Scream Queen, so I don't know if you would have liked that. I think you might
have. Let's go with horror. I think you picked wisely.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good to hear. Yeah, but do you call them psychological thrillers? I mean, you do them so well, though. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So let's backtrack. So now your big break was actually going back to The Wire. You had a memorable episode with Dominic West. Tell me about that.
I would say that probably was one of the more notable roles that I've had, and it was not something I would have liked my father to see.
Okay.
It was definitely a lot of fun. It was definitely that's a tight crew. They definitely knew what they were doing. And what's funny about that is when I worked with them. I worked with them a couple of days, and we filmed. I don't know. One day it was in the summer, and then we actually didn't pick up later on that night in the show for another few weeks. So I came back to work and we worked them again. But that crew that I worked with, I actually ended up working with a large majority of them on the movie Respire.
Oh, so, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. So David Cross, I guess, came across them. He came across Nick Gardner, who is the DP for Respire, and all of his grips and his all the crew, and they were tight. I mean, it was just a really sharp running ship, really good. So it was like I had already known half the people once we started filming, and it was a very, very comfortable set.
It is kind of a tight crew around here in the D.C. Baltimore area, because I've done a few commercials and you kind of see some of the same guys.
Yeah, it's true, but when I say tight, I just mean that they're clockwork. Like, there's no, like, they know what they're doing.
They don't BS.
No, and they block the scenes. They know what they want to hit, and we're not picking up. Like, we don't have to pick up scenes the next day, or if it's on there, if it's on the schedule and they want to get the scene, they're going to get the scene, and you're going to be out on time.
Right.
And there's some movies and some shows I've been on where that doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But it happened on The Wire. It happened on Respire, and I was grateful. That was a good. That was I can definitely say that was those were two of the better experiences I've had.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
So what's be coming up next for you? What you got coming?
You know, I actually just wrapped this past weekend on a project with another company that I've worked with in the past, and you actually know them, First Star Media, and they did Leaving Hollywood, and they've done a couple
right.
of other things, it's a complete departure. So if you're thinking anything like, you know, Diary of a Child Star or Zombie Doomsday, get that out of your head, because it
was this an Exaction?
No. This is something that's not even out there, and I'm actually not even at liberty to talk about
it.
Oh,
okay. I don't want to get you in trouble now.
No, you won't, and I certainly won't say anything that I'm not supposed to, but it's the material is based on a true story. It's definitely different material than you're used to seeing from these people, but it's close to their heart, and it's something that we're in post-production now, so hopefully within the next couple of months, we'll be putting something out there. But we wrapped this weekend. It was a tough weekend, definitely for me, because I'm nursing a broken ankle.
Sorry to hear that.
It's okay, but it was tough to take off the the boot and walk in a brace and a tennis shoe and not be limping. And but yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good. And there's a couple of other people involved in it that I was really excited to work with. And I think that, you know, when everything comes to fruition, it'll be a really great thing for the area and great for First Star and Nick Bailey. So, but unfortunately, I can't really talk about it. But
oh, okay.
That's what I've got in the pipeline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about one of my favorite films that you did, The Haunting of Pearson Place.
That was one of your favorites, huh?
Yeah.
That one, you know, I'm not sure exactly where we are with that one. I know that recently, this past week, I saw that there's a DVD box art now has been completed. I'm not sure what they're doing as far as distribution, but, you know, I was really surprised with, you know, how well that turned out. Not that I was, you know, expecting something crappy, but, I was pleasantly surprised. It looked good, and it was a lot funnier than I was anticipating, and I know you thought it was funny because you were sitting in front of me, and, you know, it was a fun film to shoot. It was a low budget, so, you know, we were all kind of close-knit, and we filmed for 2 months on that, and, you know, that was tough. I was working full-time and filming at the same time, so it was 2 months straight where I was working 7 days a week. And, you know, by the end, I think, you know, we all kind of just hit a wall, and I ended up getting sick. I think everybody got sick, but
wow.
I had Joe Estevez in it. Joe Estevez is just a treat, a real, real pleasure.
Yeah, I could tell that guy was – he looked like a guy would be fun to work with.
You know,
he's
fun. He had
that gleam in his eye.
Yeah, he's fun, and he's a character, but he's just a nice individual, and he cares, and he'll sit and talk to you about anything. He's just a real down-to-earth individual, and he gives, and he, you know, he's present, and he's so complimentary, and it's so easy to be around him, and it was very, very nice. And then the other thing that I really appreciated about being on that set was working with Ken Arnold, and that was, it was the second time I played his wife, and that was, the fourth project I've been in with him. I did an episode of America's Most Wanted with him. I'd done a pilot with him. I'd done another indie, my very first movie
ever.
He's
a real pro. He's definitely a real pro.
He is. He's a real pro. He knows a lot about everything, and he's funny. He's easy to be around. He's so chill. I mean, this guy's got like 900 kids, so it's impossible to slap him. I mean, honestly.
He's a Bruce Lee fan, too. That's what I like about him.
Is he? I didn't know that.
He talks
and I ignore him, so I have no idea what he says. I just like him. He's a pretty face.
I think your best performance, I really enjoy Respire. That was something else. I mean, that was really, you talk about a psychological thriller. That was really, really just on point. I mean, that was,
that'll really,
I mean, if you're watching that, I mean, you gotta really, you were on the edge of your seat with that one. Talk a little bit more about.
I didn't know which, go ahead, talk more about what?
No, talk more about how you got cast in that one and how you how the shoot went for you and just any thoughts about how you approached the character, that kind of thing.
That's funny. When I auditioned for that I do have a manager, and she sent me on that and said, you know, you're going to this audition. You know, here are the slides. And I actually got it like really late. I had zero time to prepare, so I literally took the sides with me. But the catch was, it was an open call, so there were hundreds of people there. And
hey, Tracy, it looks like we have a caller. Let's see if I can get this person in here. Let's see what's going on. Hello, who's on the line? Hello, who's on the line? All right, I guess they didn't want to talk.
listening to the prank caller. They thought they were calling the Howard Stern show.
Probably. So you were saying?
So I showed up to the open call, you know, even though I was represented, and I waited for hours to be seen. I went in completely ill-prepared, didn't know the lines, didn't know the character, didn't know anything, and I read for David Cross. I think his sister was casting as well, and there was a just a huge room full of people. They were all lined up, and I was a wreck. And for the record, I'm a bad auditioner to begin with. I don't audition well. And a lot of people don't. Once I get
there. A lot of actors can either do one or the other. They act well and they don't audition, or they audition well and they don't act that good.
Exactly. I just have this thing. I lock up. I'm terrible. It just doesn't happen for me. I don't know what it is. So it was horrible. I mean, it was really pitiful. And they knew I thought it was terrible because I just walked out. I was like, man, that was so crappy. I walked out of there, and before I left, Dave Cross, the writer, director, you know, comes out back, you know, and was smoking a cigarette and said to me, you know, it's been years now, I'm trying to remember, he said something to the effect of, this is you, this is your character, like you're Susan. And I was like, are you kidding me? Were you in the same room? I was in, like, that was awful. And he said, well, I don't know. I want to have you come back. I want to do a callback with you and have you read with some other people. I see something in you. He said, I know that there's more. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll come back, whatever. I'll make you suffer through it. So I did come back, and it was probably 4 or 5 hours worth of callbacks where we did scene after scene after scene. And
wow. Tracy, I'm going to try this guy one more time. This guy's very, very persistent. Let's see if he can. Hello, who's calling? Hello? Who's on the line? I give up.
Okay.
Okay, well, second time wasn't a charm. So you went to the callback.
Yeah, we did hours of scenes with the other actors who ultimately ended up being cast in the other roles, and you know, it just worked from there. So he saw something that I didn't see. Just, you know, he knew I didn't have time to get familiar with the scripts, and you know, he could see through it. So he saw me. He knew that I was Susan, and he cast me, and it, you know, just went from there. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
well, you never know how things are going to. You never know how things are going to turn out. I mean, sometimes you do what you think is a terrible audition, and you turn it, wind up getting the part. Sometimes you read perfectly,
true.
and then you don't get the part. You don't hear anything back.
And I've
then
had
you get a call back.
Yeah,
I know. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago about Clint Eastwood. He tried out for Rawhide, and the actor that was in there before him read perfectly. He had everything line for line, word by word. Everything was perfect. But then Eastwood, he didn't have his lines perfect. So he said, well, let me just go in here. Let me just, hit the transitions, come in with the right emotion, try to get the character. He just came in and he just got the character, and he wound up getting the part.
Well, that's right. They're not looking for, they're looking for the character, the essence, they're not looking for, you know, perfection, and they're not looking for robots and androids.
Exactly.
So, and that's what
you got to have some personality there. You just can't go in there and just read it like a robot. It's got to be, you got to embody the character. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Right. So when I get on set, it's a totally different story. I don't have nerves. I don't have jitters when I'm booked for something and when I'm actually working. It's only if I have to go where I feel like I'm being judged or scrutinized. It's a completely different energy. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you feel like somebody's judging you, it's sort of like, you get kind of nervous, and you're sort of, I'm being judged, and I'm kind of like,
You freak out, and it's chemical.
Yeah.
You can't control it. At least I can't control it.
And
I'm
you
better.
Get all,
I'm much better these days.
And you know what's funny is sometimes I've been in situations where I'll go through routines where I try to calm myself down, try to breathe. I don't even do this anymore. You try to breathe, or this that acupuncture trick where you squeeze the web between your thumb and your fourth finger, and you're doing all this stuff. As soon as I do that stuff, I just get more nervous.
Me too. I prefer to sit there and wiggle your toes inside your shoes, and that I'm like, what am I? And then I'm concentrating on wiggling my toes. Why am I wiggling my toes? Because I'm trying not to be nervous. Oh my God, I'm nervous.
You hit the nail on the head.
And then I'm inside my head, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is not cool. So
yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, Tracy. Well, I thank you for calling in. It's been a fantastic interview. We'll probably have you on again sometime, I'm sure.
Sure. I'm glad.
I'm glad.
It was a pleasure.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. And like I say, okay. Hey, well, you go get some sleep now.
I'm going right to bed. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. All right.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, folks, so let's see. Let's wrap this show up. I got a couple minutes here. I've got a workshop I'll be teaching coming up very shortly, Monday the 23rd at performingartstrainingstudio.com. That's performingartstrainingstudio.com. The name of the class is Networking Tricks for Actors. It repeats on February 6th, 13th, and 20th. It's a singular workshop on how to get your networking game on as an actor and get more opportunities. I teach basically the art of networking. You really got to sign up for that class. Read my column, DC Actors Examiner. The best way to find it is Google DC Actors Examiner. And I've got a big series out there on auditioning. I'm also assistant directing a play called Crimes of the Heart at Bowie Playhouse, opening February 3rd. See www.pglt.org for details, and I will be teaching another class, Understanding the Acting Business in the DMV, up at Studio Bow in Baltimore, Maryland, and you should go to my website for that. The cost is $100, and this is William Powell, and I'm going to encourage all my fellow thespians out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg. Later, Gators.